Coming to you now is Lehem Panim with your host, Pastor Cameron Urey, senior pastor and Bible teacher at Renton Park Chapel in Renton, Washington.
Hello and welcome again to Lehem Panim. It's good to have you with us today as once again we continue our study of the book of Acts together. But before we get into our passage today, I'd like to first ask you if maybe at some time in your life you have fallen asleep at a time or in a place that you shouldn't have. And then maybe things got a little awkward or a little weird. You know, at the Christian college I attended, in chapel one time, one of the students fell asleep during the preacher's message. And his buddy, noting that he was fast asleep, nudged him and said, "Hey, wake up! The preacher just called on you to pray." And startled awake, and not yet coming to his full senses, the young man quickly stood up and began praying right there in front of several hundred other college students. And you can imagine his embarrassment when he realized what had happened and what his friend had done to him. I'm not sure they could be friends after that. I don't know if I could be, but something very similar happens in our story today. Only this time there are deadly consequences. And yet, in and through this, God really demonstrates his power and how he is the one who is at work in and through the Apostle Paul. Go ahead and look with me at chapter 20 of the book of Acts. You'll remember from our episode last week how Paul and a group of pastors from various churches that he had helped plant, they're making their way towards Jerusalem with an offering for the church there. And they stop at the city of Troas, of which Luke writes in verse 6, "And there we stayed 7 days. And on Sunday they gather for a local evening worship service in a house likely belonging to one of the believers. They eat, they have communion together, and then Paul begins teaching them. It says in verse 7, "And on the first day of the week, when we were gathered together to break bread, Paul began speaking to them, intending to leave the next day. And he prolonged his message until midnight." Now, Paul knew that this would likely be his last meeting with these Christians here in Troas. And so, understandably, he preaches a longer sermon because he wants to make sure that he leaves them with as much as possible that can help them in the days ahead when they're no longer going to have him. And so it's in this context of a prolonged message that something very unexpected happens. It says, "Now there were many lamps in the upper room where we were gathered together. And there was a young man named Eutychus sitting on the windowsill, sinking into a deep sleep." Now, the word used to describe Eutychus's age here in verse 9, manios, it means a man from 24 to 40 years of age. However, the word in verse 12, pais, it means a young child or youth. And so Dr. Howard Marshall, he's an eminent Greek scholar, he says he was a young lad of 8 to 14 years of age. And my son falls within that age range. And so this story could have been about him. Now, since the word pais can mean a servant also, Eutychus may have been a young man who was also a servant. So he might very well have been weary from working hard that day. And that, coupled with the fact that it was late in the evening and the possible stuffiness of the room, it caused him to be very tired. And plus all those oil lamps, and that's what they were, combined with a lot of people, it served to make the room very nice, very warm. Maybe some of the lamps took away some of the oxygen in the room, we don't know. But it was most likely not because Paul's sermon was boring, as everyone else, including those who probably should have been watching Eutychus, seemed to be so engrossed in the sermon, they don't even notice Eutychus falling asleep next to a window that he could potentially fall out of. And poor Eutychus, I mean, he's trying his best to stay awake. The tense of the Greek verb indicates that he was gradually overcome, not suddenly. But he can't stay awake. Now, his name adds to the humor of the story because his name actually means lucky or fortunate. And so the many lamps and long sermon likely led Lucky to seek air in the window where there was better ventilation and the cool air might help to keep him awake. But he fell asleep anyway. And it says, "And as Paul kept on talking, he sunk into that sleep and fell down from the third floor." And so, no doubt leaning and then tipping out the window, Eutychus falls three stories to the ground below. Now, I don't know if you've ever had a dream before where you're falling and then you suddenly wake up. It's terrifying. I've had those dreams before and they're not fun. Well, here, Eutychus is awakened by that sensation, but to his horror, it's not a dream. He hits the ground and he dies on impact. And it says of him, verse 9, "He fell down from the third floor and was picked up dead." Now, some of your translations may say, "as dead." And so the question obviously arises, was he completely dead or just mostly dead? You know, just recently I watched one of my favorite scenes in one of my family's favorite movies, The Princess Bride. And there's this scene that came to my mind when I was reading this passage, because in this scene, a man who has died recently is being carried by his friends to somebody who they think might be able to restore him to life. And a miracle worker by the name of Miracle Max finally agrees to help him. And when Miracle Max looks at him, he says, "The good news is that he's not all dead. He's just mostly dead." "There's a big difference between mostly dead and all dead," he says. "Well, what's the difference?" one of the friends asks. "Well, if mostly dead, he's slightly alive. But with all dead, there's really only one thing you can do." "Well, what's that?" asks the friend. "Go through his pockets and start looking for loose change." So anyway, was Eutychus, was he mostly dead or was he all dead? Well, there's actually less room for misinterpretation in the Greek, because the Greek word is nekros, which in its adjectival form, here it means dead or lifeless. As a noun, it would mean a dead body or a corpse. And so he's picked up nekros, dead, not as dead. No, Eutychus has actually died. Now, this story has a touch of humor because of the circumstances involved. And plus, we know how it ends. And so it's kind of funny for us reading it. But keep in mind what a horror this must have been to the boy's mother and father, who were no doubt there. And even to Paul. I mean, we don't know if it was the scream of somebody who saw Eutychus fall, or if it was the scream of Eutychus himself that alerted everyone. But when Paul realizes what has happened, maybe even seeing it himself, he obviously stops teaching, and in horror, he quickly runs down the stairs, which, keep in mind, ran outside the house. And it says, "But Paul went down and fell upon him. And after embracing him, he said, 'Do not be troubled, for his life is in him.'" Now, as I was reading Paul's response here, "Do not be troubled, for his life is in him," I was really hearing him say, "Don't worry, he's not all dead. He's only mostly dead." And so which is it? Is Paul lying? Is he bending the truth a little bit? No, because before he says that, it says first that he went down and fell upon him. And that phraseology is very key because, remember, God had also performed resurrections through Elijah and Elisha after they had fallen upon and embraced two young boys who had died. And so Paul's falling upon Eutychus, it was the means through which God brought Eutychus back to life. After which Paul, then seeing the boy alive, cries out, "Do not be troubled, for his life is in him." Now it says in verse 11 and following, "And when he had gone back up and had broken the bread and eaten, he talked with them a long while until daybreak and then left. And they took away the boy alive and were not a little comforted." By the way, I love how Paul just goes right back to preaching. And I guarantee you, Eutychus was now awake the whole time. partially because of what had happened, but also because when God brings you back to life, you come back refreshed. You come back walking and leaping and praising God. I mean, Eutychus, he had a lot to be thankful for. You know, sometimes you don't know what you're thankful for until you don't have it. And this story, I think, has a happy ending because Eutychus, he lived to die another day. Perhaps as an aged man, after having lived a full, rich life. We don't know. But can you imagine being his mom or his dad that day? You know, I often worry about my kids. I'll just be honest with you. I'm not a put your kid in a bubble parent, but I'm very protective of my kids. And almost every day I worry about them having a Eutychus moment, losing attention for that split second, that brief blip of time that can end or forever change the course of their lives. And you know, that's compounded by the fact that I know there's no Apostle Paul to bring them back if anything like that happens to them. You know, our kids and I were in a car accident now about 2 years ago, right near their school. Another car, not watching, veered into us, hit us extremely hard. Every airbag in our car deployed. Airbags came out of places I didn't even know airbags could be. And the one that deployed just left of my head, it knocked my hearing out for a little while. And after impact, ears ringing, I turn to see my kids. And I see the fear written all over their faces. And for months afterwards, often when I would drive through that spot, now extra cautiously, I had this kind of gut-clenching physical reaction. Now, I know that we're not to live in fear. And on the other side of that, I've seen so many times how God has protected them. And he did then as well. But I'm also aware of how quickly life can change. And whenever I go through that spot, I feel this overwhelming gratitude for my kids' lives and for my life as well. But you know, there's another spot that holds similar significance to me. And I know it does to you as well. And that's the site of the cross. When you think about it, it's such a horrible place to be, at the foot of a cross. And yet it was there that Jesus, in such a brief window of time, he gave us back everything that we might have lost. Eternal life in fellowship with God. I don't know what your plans are this week, but I'd like to encourage you to make time to give thanks to God for saving you in that sacred place. Like these early Christians did, orient yourself around a remembrance of what God has done for you in and through Jesus Christ. Let's do so. Amen.
Today's episode of Lehem Panim has been made possible by Renton Park Chapel, a church that is committed to the ministry of sharing the joy of hearing and doing God's word, and to the mission of bringing people into the life-giving presence of Jesus Christ in and through vibrant preaching, teaching, Bible study, prayer, and ministry to a world that is in desperate need of the healing touch of Jesus Christ. If you'd like to learn more about our ministry here at Renton Park Chapel, or would like to request any of our messages here on Lehem Panim, you can visit us online at rentonparkchapel.org or lehempanim.org. You can also find us on both Facebook and Twitter. We look forward to hearing from you, and thank you for listening. And may you know all the fullness of having in your life the bread of the presence of God.